Craig's ready.
Hello, Craig.
Craig's ready. We're back. It's episode 53. It's TH Fantasy. I'm Tony. This is Ryan. Craig is here. Ryan, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. It's the Saturday before Sunday, so I'm like floating on cloud nine because we just did all of our bets and we just did all of our lineups and stuff. So right now, like, everything's awesome. But at about 12:30 tomorrow, I have a feeling it's going to start to decline just like it does every week when all of our bets stop cashing.
Hell yeah. Actually, let's hope that as we refine our methodology, things get better.
I know. I'm just saying, you know, it's the classic thing. It's like going into Monday night and all you need is that one game left for your parlay.
The best part of being a football fan is 11:45 to 12:05 on Sunday afternoons.
Yep. Yep.
Because it's still early and nothing, and like you're like, all right, football, it's on. I'm eating chips. Yep. All right, so let's do our number 53s.
Sure.
You want to go first?
Sure. Episode 53. We're doing today Mr. Mike Webster, Iron Mike, as a lot of people know him.
It's a legend.
Legend. He was actually movie Concussion with Will Smith was actually based on this guy. If you didn't know that,
I did not.
Yeah, he was a predominant character in that movie. So Mike Webster, center in the NFL for the Steelers, famous Steelers team in the 70s. He won 4 Super Bowls with them. He played in the NFL from 1974 to 1990. When he retired, he was the last active football player that had won those 4 Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
He actually retired on the Chiefs the last two years of his career. He played on the Chiefs. Another reason I picked this guy this week is I go up to northern Wisconsin a handful of times every year. And this guy's actually from Tomahawk, Wisconsin, and went to Rhinelander High School, which is the area that I go up to every year.
Really? Actually,
his high school stadium, the Rhinelander High School Stadium, is named the Mike Webster Stadium.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He's 6'1", 255 pounds. As I said, a 4-time Super Bowl champ with the Steelers. Had a really interesting, weird life for a football player, and a lot of it was attributed to the frequent hits that he took while out on the field.
Right.
Shocking
everybody.
He only lived to 50 years old. He died in 2002.
That's sad.
He was actually the first player that the NFL recognized to have CTE.
Oh.
After he died, I guess they did a study with him and like 8 other players that had died, people that had died, and his brain was basically mush.
Right. Because they can't test for CTE till after you die.
They can't look until after you die, yeah.
Right.
Because they actually have to examine your brain, you know, mm-hmm. physically. But he died of a heart attack, but it was a multitude of other things. He had at the time admitted to obviously being addicted to painkillers.
Sure.
And it's speculated that he took steroids throughout his career, even though he never admitted it, and it was legal in the NFL. He went to the University of Wisconsin, where he's considered one of the best centers to ever play for the University of Wisconsin.
Okay.
He was the Steelers' offensive captain for 9 seasons.
Damn, and there were like, I mean, we're talking like Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swan.
Yeah, right. He's the offensive captain, yeah. So after he had a story, he's considered one of the best centers ever in the NFL, if not the best.
Right.
After he retired, started going a little crazy and was like known to like live out of his car and at train stations and stuff like that because something was going on in his head.
That's really sad.
Yeah. And if you've seen that movie Concussion, it kind of outlines the later years of his life and trying to figure out, like, he had amnesia, dementia, like all this stuff. Like, he didn't know who he was, so he was a different person than he used to be.
Oh.
And the Bradshaw family and the Steelers were known to pick up a lot of tabs on, like, when he would just randomly disappear and he needed a hotel room to stay in for 3 months. Terry Bradshaw would pick up the tab, or the Steelers front office would help him out with stuff like that.
Okay.
And actually, because it was found out that he had all these horrible things, like I said, amnesia, dementia, stuff wrong with his bones and his body because of the, you know, 16 years of playing in the NFL.
Right.
It was deemed that, he became disabled while playing in the NFL. So he took, after he died, his estate took, the NFL to court and won over $1.6 million from, the NFL. Of course, they tried to appeal it at first, but the upper courts ruled that the NFL had to pay because it was part of their benefits plan, you know.
Sure.
Something like that. Sad story, and honestly, that movie Concussion is really good. If you guys want to watch it, it really sheds a light on, you know, some of these things that happen to these players. And it just so happened when I was researching this guy, and I was like, oh yeah, this is that guy. This is the guy that was profiled in that movie.
Sure. Okay.
And awesome, great player, but really sad story to the end of his life. And
yeah,
but that's Mr. Mike Webster, Steelers great, 4 Super Bowls, number 53.
All right. This is a, I don't want to say it's a lighter note, but like, it's a weird lighter note. We talked about this guy in the past, Ryan. You talked about this guy specifically. This is going to be a callback to one of our earlier episodes here.
Okay.
My number 53 is also a center. It goes by the name of Mark Stepnoski.
I feel like, yeah, we did talk about that. Yeah.
All right. So when we get there, you'll know. He was an offensive line star. He was recruited to play at Pitt. He was awesome at Pitt. He was opening up running lanes for future NFL fullback legend Craig Ironhead Hayward, if you remember. Ooh, Ironhead.
Yes.
Stepnoski was drafted by Dallas in 1989. That's like the legendary Dallas draft class. So he was a third-round pick. But the first-round pick was Troy Aikman. Second-round pick was Daryl Moose Johnston. And then Steve Wisniewski and Mark Stepnoski were all picked in that draft. 22 combined Pro Bowls for that class.
Really?
Yep.
Damn.
So Stepnoski was on two of those Dallas Super Bowl teams during that like dynasty era, when that was considered one of the greatest offensive lines ever assembled.
Sure.
He was a Pro Bowler for 5 years straight.
Damn.
But two of those years, those last 2 years, he did it in Houston. He was the first player from the Cowboys dynasty, like one of the key parts, to leave via free agency. So he went to Houston and won and was Pro Bowl 2 years in a row. He played one more year in 2001 as a Cowboy. He came back and finished his career there. He was nominated for the Hall of Fame in 2007, but didn't make it. Okay. Now let's talk about why you might remember this guy. After his career ended, Mark Stepnoski became an advocate for the legalization of cannabis as the eventual leader of Normal in Texas.
That's right. Hell yeah.
Yep, Mark Stepnoski. He said that he occasionally used cannabis for pain management, which, like, oh, you occasionally did. Okay.
Right.
Like, what sort of person that works for Normal? It's like, yeah, I smoked weed once or twice in college, but I didn't like it that much. So here's my line, Ryan. 1.5 games played while under the influence of cannabis for Mark Stepnoski. Over or under?
Over. I'd put it at like all.
So apparently his advocacy for cannabis ran against the like conservative war on people that like want to just get high in their own house.
Yeah.
So Mike Webster is the high school is named like the stadium's named after him. When Stepnoski was going to be in his high school sports hall of fame, the private prep school that he went to high school said, no, since you're a cannabis advocate, we're not going to elect you into our hall of fame.
What?
Yeah. And the George W. Bush Office of Drug Policy put out a statement condemning him for like, you're a role model. How could you say that smoking weed is not bad? Right. The office that condemned Stepnoski, the people that sent him that formal, like, mean letter, are also the people that pay for, fund, and, like, make those anti-drug commercials, so they're fucking idiots anyways.
This is your brain on drugs, those?
Yeah, those guys. So he moved to Vancouver, so that probably so he could just blaze it in peace. Like, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, however, he's a big-time 9/11 truther, which is less cool.
Oh no!
his favorite band is the Black Crowes, which isn't terrible, but it's not like super cool. Like that's in the middle. I read an interview that he did with the Erie Times from like 2007 because he's from the Erie area, and like there's a lot of like, how do you feel about this? And he's like, oh, it was pretty good. So there's a lot of short like answers and explanations. And then they ask him a little bit about 9/11, and he goes fucking nuts, dude. Just nuts. Like, a lot of, like, one-sentence answers. And then when he's like, so what about 9/11? He's like, listen, the thing about Tower 7 is that it wasn't hit by a plane. And, like, he just goes, it's like paragraphs.
My God.
So that's Mark Stepnoski. That's my number 53.
Hell yeah. Nice.
All right.
I forgot that I talked about him when we were talking about our guys who used to blaze it up episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we got a couple more things to do. Let's talk about, I have three questions for you, Ryan. And I gave you these questions a couple days ago, so I'm sure you've had time to mull them over. So I want to hear your takes. Ryan, this year, who wins the AFC South and why?
I mean, really? Right now, you know I'm going to say the Jags. It's definitely the Jags.
Why does Jacksonville win the AFC South this year?
All right. Well, Indy's falling apart. Jonathan Taylor's out again. I don't know what's going on. I really don't like that because that was my first pick in work league draft, and I hated having the first pick and having to take him because I knew something like this would happen.
Right.
But, as I said, Indy's falling apart. The Texans are the Texans. Even though they looked good against Jacksonville, that must have just been an off game for them. Jacksonville's proven that they can put up points against some pretty reputable teams, a.k.a. Chargers, a.k.a. the Colts when they played them earlier in the year.
It's true.
As of right now, the Jaguars team looks like they're going to win the AFC South. That's my vote.
All right. I like it. I mean, I think it's, as you heard on 2 weeks ago, Farceball, I still think the Colts make the playoffs. I think they win the AFC South with like a 9-8 record.
That's pretty bold.
So my next question, Ryan, are the Rams the worst defending Super Bowl champs that you can remember?
I think so. Like, okay, let's look at Brady. You know, like their team doesn't look that bad. They had that one game where they didn't have Godwin and Evans, and it kind of looked like the Scotty Miller show, and it was really weird.
It was the Russell Gage show, but they still, like, almost, if they would have gotten that 2-point conversion, that game goes to overtime.
Yeah, right. I'm trying to think of the New England Patriots, a classic. Like, they never looked like shitty the next year.
Are the current Rams worse than the Eagles the year after they beat the Patriots with Nick Foles?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because that's a bad one.
Well, didn't the Giants do really bad, too, after they won in, like, 09 or what was that?
Yeah, the year that they were a wild card team in the playoffs and just beat everyone's ass.
Yeah. That, I don't know, but on paper, the way the Rams dominated last season. Like, I don't know. But all they lost was they added Robinson and they don't have, what's his name right now? Odell.
Right. Like, and Cam Akers is going through some weird shit. Right.
Yeah. Nothing really changed with that team. It's hard to figure out what the hell's going on. None of the coaches changed, right?
No. And I will say that Eagles team, the year after they won the Super Bowl, that's the team that beat the Bears in the double doink playoff game. So they made it to the second round of the playoffs.
Right.
That year. So I think there's a chance that the Rams are the worst defending Super Bowl champ that I can remember. That team looks fucking lost.
Yeah, they do look bad.
I
don't know. Stafford's, I guess, getting towards the end of his career. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard to see that crazy because he just exploded right out of Detroit.
Yeah, he did. Bowl.
And now he's hawking Little Caesars.
Now he's the spokesman of Pizza.
Yeah.
So Ryan, we just talked about a disappointing AFC team. AFC West or NFC West. Let's talk about another depressing NFC West team. The Arizona Cardinals. Are they toast or do they still have a chance to right the ship?
I think they do, but I had a feeling, a gut feeling when all that offseason shit was going on with Kyler Murray that something weird's going to happen with the season. Either he's not going to play up to his 100%. Something is in his head where he's not doing the best he can do. He's got weapons. He's got Ertz. They got a really good backup rookie tight end. Rondale Moore's good. Hopkins coming back next week. If it doesn't turn on when Hopkins comes back next week, I'm afraid. But I think they still have a chance to come back, especially in the NFC West. It's not like they're playing in the AFC West.
Which also, like, I don't know, man. The Raiders really, really blowing it over here.
I know. I mean, Carr and Adams getting the points and stuff, but what do you think's going to happen to Adams after he got charged? Isn't you get, like, an outside physical discretion with someone? Isn't that, like, an automatic six-game suspension according to the NFLPA?
I'm not sure. I think, of course, with everything, it depends on how famous you are and how good you are at football.
Well, so, obviously they're going to settle out of court and that guy's just going to get $1 million and walk away from his career for a little bit. But I thought there was something. I heard something on one of the guys I was listening to on the way to work one of these days this week saying something like that, where there's, if you get in an altercation with someone not on the field, like outside of that, like, but I don't even know how that works because you're still on the field.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like it was clearly at a bar or something.
Right. No, I get that too. I don't know. I think they're going to.
Something like that is like an automatic 6-game suspension. I can't remember what they were saying.
I guess we'll see what happens.
Right.
All right. So let's move on. We've got our two plays coming up here, and we're going to start with our favorite recurring segment.
Ryan's mid-tier, stone-cold, kind of shitty tight end of the week.
All right, so obviously I'm still rolling with Danny Bellinger. Come on. I can't believe he's still only $4,700 on FanDuel. But we'll see. This could be another breakout week. Had a touchdown last week. He's getting about 5 to 6 targets every week. And guess what this week? Giants don't have anyone to throw to.
They don't.
Literally. No Tony. No Galladay. It's going to be like, what, Darius Slayton? Who is that other guy? Was it Richie or?
Yeah, Richie James and David Stills. And
yeah, it's a shit show. And Bellinger's showing that he can be an integral part of that offense. And I think Daniel Jones has developed an interesting chemistry. So I'm still staying with Bellinger. Another shittier tight end, though, that I did want to put up. I think this could be a Jelani Woods touchdown week.
Okay.
Indianapolis has gone through the cycle, all right? So we had Mo'Ali Cox, and then we had
Kylan Granson,
and then Jelani Woods had the two touchdowns before that. So, law of averages say that it's going to be a Jelani Woods touchdown week.
Oh, man, I love that call. That's a great double play there. Yeah.
Another guy to watch out for, Trey McBride. He's clearly come out as the number two tight end to Ertz, and he's getting targets. So maybe he can help Arizona right the ship too.
That would be a lot of fun. Okay, you just got a three-pack of stone-cold, mid-tier, kind of shitty tight ends of the week. Yeah. So I'm going to do my Jamal Agnew line as always. I try to find a receiver priced at or below the cost of Jamal Agnew on FanDuel. And I really struggled with this week because Jamal Agnew last week, the markets were huge. He was like 5,400.
Yeah, did they dwindle?
Oh yeah. We're back down to 51, dude.
Oh no.
So I have to find a receiver at under 5,100, and I found someone at 5,100. And okay. So my Jamal Agnew line, wide, deep dive wide receiver play of the week is Kadarrell Hodge of the Atlanta Falcons.
Interesting. I remember them saying a bunch of his name last week.
It's pretty barren. Against Cleveland, he did nothing. But he had 3, 3, and 5 targets. He's going to get you about 30 yards on 3 catches, and the hope is that maybe he can get you a touchdown. Last week, he caught a 2-point conversion. A lot of Atlanta's production has come in garbage time, and I think this game has the potential for garbage time.
Hell yeah.
So my Jamal Agnew wide receiver play of the week is Kadarrell Hodge.
Boo, boo, hell boo, yeah. Boo. I remember seeing bits and pieces of that game, and I'm like, who the hell is this Hodge guy?
Yep.
Hell yep. Yeah.
All right. So last but not least, do you want to make a fun little super flex lineup before we go?
Do you want to do that $5 single that we do every week?
I love it. All right, Ryan, who's your quarterback play of this week? I mean, obviously, Josh Allen is chalky, but we just did 3 hours on how Josh Allen's chalky. So all options are on the table here.
I mean, I don't have any shares yet of like a Allen Mahomes stack. I feel like we need to have Allen.
Okay. Do you want to do an Allen, Gabe Davis, or do you want to do a Diggs?
Well, I guess that depends on what other quarterback we want to. Let's look at that first.
Okay.
I've got no shares of Joe Burrow this week, which could be an interesting bounce back game for Cincinnati. I've got no.
What do you think about Kyler? Seattle's defense is terrible.
Another like game Seattle had against Detroit. I could see that happening in game script. Super high scoring.
Right, and then we could pivot to, like, Zach Ertz, and he'd be cheap.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, let's do Kyler.
All right, so we got Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Zach Ertz. Do we go Gabe Davis or Steph Diggs here?
I feel like that offense, too, Buffalo offense, is kind of cyclical, too, just like how I was talking about Indy. And if we go by that logic, then the play is Diggs. Because Gabe had all the yards last week.
Okay, let's go Diggs. Now, do we put Ken Walker in as a run back for Seattle?
Plus, he's cheap. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
How do you feel about J.K. Dobbins this week?
I like J.K. Dobbins a lot this week, actually.
Especially for touchdowns, right?
Yeah.
Getting on the goal line.
I want our flex to be Aaron Jones.
All right, hold on. So wait, can we put Dobbins in and still have enough money for Jones?
We'd have 4,900, so we would have to pay down somewhere else.
All right, let me see here. Let me take out Dobbins.
I like Dobbins a lot, though.
I know. I don't think we're going to be able to play them both together, though.
The only problem with Dobbins is that, like, he's not going to get 20 touches.
True. Yeah, he's game script dependent.
What do you think about A.J. Dillon? Or right. We're putting in Jones, I'm not putting in
Dillon.
What do you think about Hunt?
I feel like we got too much exposure to him. Let's see. Okay. Right now I have a running back and a wide receiver left. I put Jones in the flex.
I did too.
And we have 58-50. What about Pollard? Maybe not against Philly's defense.
No, I don't like that matchup.
What about that Jackson guy? Indianapolis.
At 56? Yeah, I'd take him. I'd give him a shot.
Against Jacksonville defense, though?
Yeah. I mean, if he gets 12 touches, that's what we want, right?
Yeah. All right, so that's 6,100 for a wide receiver.
Boyd, McKenzie, or London?
Yeah, right.
I think it's Boyd.
Yeah, I don't think we can do McKenzie.
I think we do Boyd here.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. Higgins is out.
Yeah. All right. So our lineup is Kyler Murray, Ken Walker. Is it Deion? Yeah, Deion Jackson, Stephon Diggs, Tyler Boyd, Zach Ertz. Oh, shit. Aaron Jones and Josh Allen. That is so fun.
Hell yeah.
All right. So I think that's it for us. This was episode 53 of TH Fantasy.
Hell yeah.
Ryan, what's an upset that you could see happening tomorrow before we go?
In terms of the money lines right now, I really like a Jets upset over the Packers.
I love it.
Perfect. And I'm also taking the Jags, even though that's not, they are plus money in the money line right now. So it's technically an upset, but I think the biggest upset would be the Jets over the Packers. I think the Packers are going to start to fall apart.
All right. That's a good place to wrap it then. We will see you guys next week. Good luck with your teams and have a great rest of your weekend.
Hell yeah. Have a good Sunday, everyone. Good night.